What the hell happened last night?
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
So give me some fake hugs right now and laugh real loud like we're the happiest family on earth.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
All right, so this is just a warning. If you're a filmmaker, you only have about 48 hours left to release your picture if you want it to be in contention for next year's Oscars. And at least one studio has waited until the very last minute, although they've got kind of a shoe-in because, you know, this weekend's movie could very well be Meryl Streep's next Oscar nomination among many. Joining us now are Movie Date team, Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer. Rafer is film critic for Newsday, co-host of the Movie Date podcast with Kristen, who's also culture producer for The Takeaway. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Morning.
All right, so let's talk about Iron Lady. This is the biopic of Margaret Thatcher, still remembered among many people, not just in the UK. And of course, anytime Streep is involved, even as an animated film, you're going to get Oscar buzz. But let's take a listen.
That hat has got to go, and the pearls, but the main thing is your voice. It's too high and it has no authority.
I may be persuaded to surrender the hat. The pearls, however, are absolutely non-negotiable.
All right, so Meryl Streep, famous for just immersing herself into a role. How does she do?
She does wonderfully in the movie. I mean, she gets Margaret Thatcher down to a T. I mean, every little quirk. And Margaret Thatcher is a tricky one. I mean, she had this kind of breathy voice, but also very forceful. I mean, this very steely gaze, but also in some ways a little spacey at times. And she really, I think, nails Thatcher perfectly. I think it's not her fault that the movie itself is so uninvolving. And I found a little dour and kind of unenjoyable.
Which is kind of a description of Margaret Thatcher. Kristen, what do you think?
I would watch Meryl Streep wash the dishes. She is terrific. No matter what she does, I love Meryl Streep. However, I have to agree this time with Rafer. Rafer, I agree with you that she does the best she can, but the movie's just not that great. We're dealing with her in her declining years. We see her mostly in the worst shape of her life rather than her strong and on the rise and powerful. We mostly just see her kind of a mess, and it's really not the best story.
It's a strange choice to tell the story of Margaret Thatcher, showing her mostly in her dotage, which seemed like a very odd framing device for the film that I couldn't quite figure out.
Yeah, especially if we're going to call it Iron Lady. All
right.
So you may want to miss that one this weekend, although I'm sure I am sure she will get an Oscar nomination.
I'm sure she will.
That's an easy bet. But let's look back at the year behind us and kind of see what kind of year this was for movies. I think overall the sense I've gotten from you guys is 2011 not great.
Yeah, I'm glad this year is behind us, frankly, movie-wise.
But let's start on a high note here. Let's talk about the movie, your favorite movies. Ray, for yours?
The Artist. I know I raved about this movie on the show before. I think it's such a fun film. In my review, I was trying to make a strong case that this is not your typical French silent black and white film that's going to alienate your average person. I think it's a total crowd pleaser.
This is John Goodman, the silent
John
black
Goodman.
And white.
Yeah. I think it's... It's just, it's romantic, it's funny, it's charming, it's inventive. I can't say enough good things
about
it.
All right, so maybe people can rent that instead of going to see Iron Lady. And Kristen, yours?
I have to say I changed my mind this year. There was a movie that I thought was quite mediocre early on, and I came on the air and I said that it was mediocre. I just rewatched it a couple of weeks ago, and I totally changed my mind.
What is it?
It is Bridesmaids.
You're a flip-flopper,
oh.
Kristen.
You're a total catch, and any guy would be psyched to be your man. You should just make room for somebody who's nice to you. And
you know what? He's honest. He told me that we are what we are, and we're just having fun. And I like
he
that.
He also told you need dental work.
All right, so Kristen says go back and see Bridesmaids. Rafer says go back and see the very artistic and lovely film, The Artist. That's what you want to watch instead of Iron Lady this weekend, right?
Yes, that's what I would say, yes.
I think Bridesmaids will stand the test of time.
And The Artist is in theaters.
Thank you for that reminder.
He's putting in his little plug for his favorite of the year. But let's talk about our least favorite movies of 2011. And believe me, there are a lot to choose from. Rafer, what'd you go with?
Yeah, excluding Zookeeper and Jack and Jill, anything with Adam Sandler
on it. I Bought
a
Zoo.
Yeah, right. I would say the worst to me was Margin Call, which was also one of the best reviewed movies of the year with great cast, Kevin Spacey, Paul Bettany, Jeremy Irons, about the financial collapse.
But I don't even remember
so egregiously overwritten and overdramatized and overheated. It came out seeming like second-rate Mammoth and like an episode of Dynasty. It was just, it was such a bad film, and I don't understand why so many other critics got hoodwinked by this movie.
Well, Kristen, it looks like your least favorite also was one that got very well reviewed.
Oh, yeah, people loved The Tree of Life. I was not one of those people, but I thought it was trying to be very intellectual, trying to be very arty, but I found it very amateurish, incredibly boring, and I've said this to many people, I'll say it to you. If North Korea ever kidnaps me and tortures me until I give up government secrets, the best way to do it is to force me to watch this movie.
Oh, I
will give up all secrets.
Before they even begin. The credits, the opening scenes, and she's like, I'll tell you everything.
The orange glowing light that starts the Tree of Life.
All right, we've got just about a minute and a half left as we look back on 2011. So let's talk about the movies that did not get a lot of buzz and should have. Rafer, what's your pick?
My pick would be Magic Trip, the documentary about the Ken Kesey, Mary Prankster's journey across the country. I thought it was fantastic, and that film virtually vanished overnight, but it was a great movie, really fascinating.
We weren't old enough to be beatniks, and we were a little too old to be hippies. Everybody I knew had read On the Road.
It stirred us up.
So we decided to go travel across the country.
Since it turned out that there were so many of us, we decided we'd buy a bus.
It was like a troop of minstrels.
And you felt like this was a fun movie.
You know, it's the...
documentaries aren't necessarily fun.
Not always fun. This is actual footage shot by the Mary Pranksters on that trip. Understandably, a little jumbled,
You
know, as you might expect from people who have cameras and are frying on acid. But I thought it was just really, really interesting. It's the
All
big
right.
bang of the hippie
Magic
revolution.
Magic Trip, the Ken Kesey documentary. And Kristen?
In Time, starring Justin Timberlake.
This surprises me. This has gotten bad reviews.
And you know what? It somehow managed to rake in only half the money of his other movie that was out, Friends with Benefits, which I was very shocked by. It was good fun, really speaks to today's economic climate. The 99 percenters, all of that is in this movie, and it's just fun.
All right. So on the whole, 2011, rotten year for movies?
Pretty rotten, I'd say.
Kristen?
Some really great ones, but more terrible ones.
All right. They finally agree. 2011, no good. Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway. Both host the Movie Date podcast. Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.